Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Hey, welcome again this week. We got a great show for you. As you well know, I don't bring on guests that often, so this is a very special treat for sure. Hey, as a reminder, be able to check our website, www.moneyripples.com, and check out that we've got other blogs, we've got events coming up and things of that nature. But check us out, and if you're looking for ways to free up cash, you know, definitely, there's plenty of resources there for you. Hey, so I've got on with me here, I've got Mark Mawinney. Now, Mark, he's the coach of all coaches, right? I actually first met Mark a few years ago. I think it was actually through your podcast. Is that true, Mark, or is it through Facebook first?
No, it was you were a guest on the show, and then we've done webinars and all that fun stuff together.
That's right. Yeah, it's been a couple of years. I saw some of our Facebook anniversary things pop up recently. But one thing I love about Mark, Mark definitely he's got an amazing Facebook group. So if you're a coach, for example, you're someone who's really looking for someone that can help you build your coaching business, Mark is that guy. Like, Mark is amazing in the sense that, I mean, one, the guy has built a massive following on his Coaching Jungle. I know that's something I'm a part of, and so I invite you to check that out. Check out the Coaching Jungle on Facebook and participate in that, as well as other things. But not only has he been a successful podcaster, he's been successful with coaching programs and everything else. He's also, you know, he's got the show Natural Born Coaches that he does. But the guy's been interviewed by other people, too. He's been on, like, Entrepreneur on Fire, that John Lee Dumas does. And many of you guys, I know, have been following me because of John's show. So you guys might have even heard Mark on his show, too. He's also been, you know, in other things. He's been featured in print. You know, he's been in the Secret Coach Club. I mean, he's been all over the place, all kind of media appearances on Entrepreneur.com and everything else. And so, again, like, Mark, like, you've heard me say before, the very few guests I bring on, I do not bring on posers. Right. I did not bring on fakes. I don't bring on people that aren't actually doing it. This is the person that you want to listen to, especially if you want to get your coaching business doing something different this year, something that looks bigger and better than it ever has been. Mark is your guy to really help you start shining this year. And that's exactly what we're interviewing him about today. So, Mark, welcome on the show.
Thanks for having me, Chris. I didn't realize that you had so few guests on. So it's no pressure, though. We're good.
That's right. I bring on at least a few a year. So you're one of the few, the proud. That's for sure.
Ah, geez. No, that's good. No, I'm happy to be here and love the work that you're doing. I mention your name a lot, not in a creepy way or stalky way, but just through conversation with coaches. So I'm good to go.
I appreciate that, man. So tell us a little bit more about yourself. Like, how did you get on this journey towards where you are today?
Well, it wasn't planned by any means. I'd like to say, yeah, this was in the grand master plan, you know, when I became an adult. But, hey, I knew I was going to be a coach. And really, to make a long story short, I became a coach through the rising from the ashes of a business closure, you know, going through a very challenging time in real estate after a decade. Throughout my whole 20s, I built up a real estate business, got to 100 employees and a couple office locations and all that fun stuff, and then everything came crashing down in 2009. So I know a lot of people listening probably went through hiccups in around there with the Great Recession of 2008 and the following years, and that's what hit me with real estate. And I was helped by several coaches and mentors, and eventually got into becoming a coach myself a few years after that had happened. So that's how I got into the whole coaching thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. Your story really reminds me a lot of mine as well around the same period of time. And it actually reminds me of a coach I had at that time where he said, he's kind of joking, but there's a lot of truth to it. He said that the ambition of your 20s will catch up to you in your 30s.
Well, they call it the dirty 30s for a reason. So the start of my 30s weren't very good. Now, luckily, I bounced back and I've had fun the rest of my 30s. But for a while, I thought, oh, man, this is why they call it the dirty 30s, because I was, well, 31 when all that happened. You know, the crap hit the fan. So luckily, you know, it's funny, you probably find this too. We're now, I'm 7.5 years roughly past that business closure. And it's, I mean, obviously I still remember it. There's powerful emotions there, but it's not the same way it was before. You know, the year, a couple years after that had happened, that was just on my mind. It was really weighing me down. And now I look back and I can appreciate the lessons learned from it. So it was a positive thing. I wouldn't be talking with you, and I wouldn't have met all these great coaches and clients and stuff had that not happened. But at the time, it feels like the end of the world, right? And I guess I mentioned that for anyone listening that's going through their own hell at the moment. Don't give up. Just keep going, like Winston Churchill said that you're supposed to do when you're going through hell, because it will get better.
That's right. And I learned, never say it can't ever get worse, because it can always get worse. But I think it's very important to remember, too, that you have the hope that things can always be better and things will get better, especially as you keep pushing forward. I think most people give up before they ever give it a chance. And that's the thing. It's like when you give up, that does much more than just ruin somebody financially. That ruins you spiritually, emotionally. I mean, always, you know?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more, like, or tell my audience, you're like, really, what's your focus when you work with coaches?
Well, it runs across the board. It's really on the, around the business building side of coaching. So I don't work so much with coaches on the art or craft of coaching. You know, a lot of the people I work with get that already through the certifications that they're going through, the training programs. Unfortunately, a lot of them going through that come out of the whatever certification, they've got their, you know, paperwork and they're ready to go, but then they don't know how to get clients through the door. So I'm really working more on the business side of coaching. Essentially, it's business coaching, but it's designed around getting clients, you know, and getting your message out there. And you know, no offense to, you know, Tim Ferriss, there's some great stuff in the 4-hour work week and stuff, but I am not a 4-hour work week type of guy that's going to promise people sunshine, lollipops and rainbows for working a few minutes a week. And they can make 7 figures in their first month with a magic funnel or some sort of ninja hack trick thing. You know, I'm very much, hey, you're going to have to grind it out. You're going to have to put a lot of work in, especially the first couple of years. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it and blow smoke and tell them that they're going to make 7 figures here in a short period of time. It's going to take work. And I found that's a much better way. I tend to not work well with the get rich quick people that want to do that. I work with people who are realistic, willing to put the work in and then get the results coming from it.
That's right. Well, I think your path is similar to where mine was, where you definitely spent the first few years building. And, you know, I know I definitely spent many hours a week. I mean, 40-plus hour weeks easily in the beginning. Granted, in the last year, I've gotten down below that, but it took some time to build it to a point where I was able to get it to where I could relax and not have to build it so hard.
Well, if I worked at my first year of coaching, my pay compared to the number of hours is probably third world wages, you know, and that's just being honest, especially the first 6 months, you know.
True.
I thought, oh, my God. The advantage I had was going through the real estate experience. I started real estate when I was 21. Exact same thing. Mm-hmm. The first 6 months, I worked my tail off and didn't make much in commission. Then it started to catch up. And it was really in real estate, it was years 2 and 3 that it started to take off. And I found the same thing in coaching. I'm in my fourth year now. And it was really year 2 where I said, hey, I'm really happy with this. And then year 3 kind of blew up. And now we're into year 4. I'm shooting higher and higher. But I think a lot of people nowadays, they get started and then they're not making millions of dollars in the first month. And they think, oh, what's wrong with me? Because I'm seeing all these other people posting on social media about making all this money and all this clients. And we know what those people are full of, but they may not realize that where they're new to the game. And it can be frustrating for them if they're comparing. What's that saying? Steve Furtick says, don't compare your behind the scenes to someone else's highlight reel.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, it's interesting because I know there was a coach I worked with last year that his goal was hit $1 million, but it was really his first full year in business. Like he had business started in 2015. 2016 was his first full year. He's like, I'm going to hit $1 million. And finally, about halfway through the year, I said, what if you guys don't hit $1 million? Because you're on track for like, you know, 150 to 200,000 maybe, you know. What if you don't hit that $1 million? What if you hit, say, 300,000? And I remember his wife piping in saying like, that'd be horrible. Like, that's not acceptable. Like, why? Like, What's really an issue? You're in your 20s. That's awesome. Like, you hit 300,000 in your first full year. That's amazing. You know, don't poo-poo all over that. And
first world, and
I guarantee you, they never hit $1 million. You know, so it's kind of like, right, well, now you probably go through all this mental trash of thinking that you're sucking and everything else, when in reality, you actually did an amazing job.
Well, I'm all for shooting big. I mean, that's great that they're setting big goals and targets. And I remember that happened one year in real estate. I shot I had a small team at the time. We shot for $1 million in gross commission, and we had been 450,000 or something the year before. So it was more than doubling it. And we ended up, I think, around 800,000. But I was actually tickled pink. You know, I thought, hey, if I had set a goal of 500,000 or 600,000, I might have ended up with 500,000. You know, so it's by shooting high that I ended up very happy with where I was at, even though I hit 80% of my goal.
Right. Yeah, which is definitely nothing to beat yourself up over. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So when you talk about one thing, it really fascinates me, and I love it, and I think it goes along with what my show teaches. But, you know, you talk about how to really build your coaching business without fancy funnels or ads or things like that. You know, tell us more about that.
Yeah, I mean, I got my coaching business started not with I joke around, I say it wasn't a shoestring budget, it was a dental floss budget. So I really didn't have loads of cash to throw towards Facebook ads and marketing blitzes and stuff like that. So what I had to do is make up for the lack of a war chest by putting in the effort and doing a lot of organic stuff with content creation. You know, you mentioned my podcast, Natural Born Coaches. I was doing daily show at that time, the first couple hundred episodes, and now I've scaled it back to a weekly show, which is where it'll stay. But I did a daily show for hundreds of episodes. And I was very active on Facebook. Facebook's really my playground. You know, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Twitter and stuff, but Facebook's where I get a lot of business. And that's carried over even today. You know, I'm churning out lots of content. You know, I think you have to be out front and center in front of people all the time. And the coaching world, online coaching world, any online business really isn't a place where you could just say, oh, I'm going to do a post a week or two a week, and that's enough to do it. So even with my email list, I'm doing daily emails, which sounds crazy. Some people would say it's too much, but it's been working great. You know, it chases away the people who probably would never buy from me or hire me, and it keeps the people on, and it builds a strong relationship to those who resonate with my message and who want to hear from me. So I'm a big fan of daily emails as well, but I think you have to pick at least one or two things that you're really good at, and you have to be consistent with it. And whatever you're doing, you're probably going to have to 10x the amount of effort and things that you're putting up there. So it's not enough to be putting up one post a day on whatever social media network. You probably have to do 10, just for example.
Yeah. Exactly. It's definitely not something you can just play around with. Like, I know with my followers that they're lucky to get an email from me once a month, you know, which that's one thing I respect about what you do, because a lot of times I think I put a lot of my focus in the podcast and then realize, oh, yeah, I could use my email, which I used to do weekly, and then I backed off because I think the same reason you said, it was people every once in a while you see the minority people say, yeah, I'm getting too many emails, which in hindsight now I realize that probably wasn't necessarily meant too many for me. They could have been getting too many emails in general and just went through and said, I don't, you know, okay, don't remember this guy. All right, click, you know, and now I'm actually welcome to subscribe.
Yeah. And there's a right way to do it. When I say email daily, I don't mean that it's a really hard sales pitch. I mean, I technically sell in every one of my emails. It's a call to action at the end of it. And it's not, doesn't sound like an infomercial or something that's really high pressure. You know, these, you see in the internet marketing world, false scarcity, act now only. It could be an information product where there's no quantity limits or anything like that, but oh, we only have four left, even though it's something digital, you know. For mine, there's always a call to action, but it's not that type of call to action. And you know, I tell stories and I say it's infotainment, really. I give value, but I'm not doing heavy teaching and not sending 1,000-word emails or 300 words max, you know, and I'm just keeping them fun and interesting. So that's the second part of it. Besides the consistency of a daily email, the reason that I've been able to do a lot of revenue through my email list is I've been talking in my own voice. It hasn't been canned or scripted, copied and pasted stuff like you see a lot of them out there. I talk like, you know me, I've got a corny sense of humor, Canadian kind of quirky sense of humor. I like to tell jokes and puns and stuff that makes my 8-year-old son roll his eyes at times, but that's me, you know, and I think you're better off being yourself than trying to copy someone else.
I totally agree. I've seen way more success just being who I am and be comfortable with that rather than trying to imitate some other person's success, you know, whether it be anyone really for that matter.
Well, you probably saw after Tony Robbins' documentary came out on Netflix, anyone who's seen I'm Not Your Guru knows that Tony drops the F-bomb every second word in that documentary. I think he was going for a Guinness World Record, Book of World Records with this. And what happened immediately following the week or two after that documentary was released on Netflix, all these coaches that I knew, like I followed their stuff and they didn't usually swear, all of a sudden it's, you know, F this, you know, F and pieces of crap. If you don't want to go for your dreams, you know, you're F and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, holy geez. So don't get me wrong. I use some salty language and stuff, but if I started dropping the F bomb every second word, it wouldn't look real. And it started now, it's almost in vogue not to drop the F bomb every second word because everyone's like, oh, I'm going to be like Tony and I'm going to curse like a sailor. Well, yeah, that's Tony Robbins. I think he's earned it, you know, over how many years and doing so much business, you know. You're Joe Smith, who became a coach last week. That may not be the best approach for you. So just be yourself. There's no sense constructing some sort of different image and different voice. Just be yourself.
Yeah, I agree. That it is interesting you mentioned that because the trend – I know the trend was already going up with Gary Vaynerchuk and guys like that, but then after the Tony Robbins – you know, a Netflix movie, you're like, wait a minute, now it's apparently the in vogue thing to do. And how much can I polarize people and tick them off to the point where they all unfriend me or unsubscribe to my stuff? And then I'm just left with a few key people that were able to withstand the storms of my wrath, you know, and that's fine. I agree with you. Like if it's authentic, it works great. Like if it's authentic to who you were before, but if you're just forcing that stuff, like people, it actually creates a negative response. Either you attract the people you don't want to work with in the first place, or you end up getting get a lot of people that just mistrust you because they can tell that like, you just don't seem aligned with who you really are. They just seem like they think you're phony.
Well, anyone who's on my list and follows my stuff for social media stuff knows that I'm not dropping F bombs, but you know, like I said, it's salty sometimes and stuff. And I don't worry if I lose somebody, I would rather lose them due to that salty language than let's say I start working with them and then they get offended because I say the word bull crap or BS or something, which has actually happened. I had a coach email me once and said, Mark, I love your stuff, but energetically, we're not on the same energy plane because you said crap in an email. So if you could clean up your language, I'd really appreciate it. And I'm like, oh man, give me a break. And I just, you know, said, no, I don't filter it, you know, and I wouldn't want to work with her because that's extremely touchy, you know. Okay, if you're not into F-bombs every second word, that's one thing. But if somebody says crap and you get a big issue, have a big issue with that, then you're not my client, you know, and there's someone out there that you can work with. But I'm definitely, one of my main goals is chasing people off my front lawn who I don't want to work with. So I'm kind of like Clint Eastwood in the movie Gran Torino. He's got the rifle in the front lawn. That's how I am. I want to polarize and chase him away from me because I don't want to work with him. It's not going to be a good match, you know. So I'm Clint Eastwood with the gun.
Well, I like how you said that you polarize, but you don't have to like really tick people off to polarize them. You just naturally be who you are, and if there's a lot of you who you are that people don't like, then they just move on, which is great.
Yeah, like I think there's way too many coaches that are stuck in the mushy middle, and they don't risk offending people. You know, we joked around about the Tony Robbins F-bomb people, and there are those people out there, but the vast majority of coaches are actually, they talk like a canned robotic type speech like everybody else. And that may have worked years ago, but now you know what it's like, Chris. There's so much information out there to stand out from the crowd. If you're doing boring, canned stuff that's on millions of blogs that people have seen and heard and read before, then that's just not going to do it. You got to infuse some personality with it. You got to be able to stand up above the crowd and get your head over the crowd to be seen. And I don't think enough coaches are doing that because they're worried about risking offending people. You know, I had somebody unsubscribe from my email list once because – make a long story short, I sent an email out and I said that coaches who try to cobble together their business by getting a bunch of free advice from like 20 calls, you know, people who go through 20 free calls and then try to pull together. I compared it to before the Wright brothers achieved flight, there were all these people who had these crazy flight contraptions. They had like bicycles with wings taped to them and all this like weird, crazy stuff. And a bunch of people died and went crashed into the ground and stuff. And I said, that's what it's like with coaching businesses trying to cobble together free advice from 20 calls instead of investing in someone good like yourself or like me and learning the right way. And I had someone unsubscribe and said, I found that totally rude and offensive and I'm dropping off your list. And I'm like, oh, come on, you know, but I don't want that person on my list anyways. If you're going to get offended, the shock and horror of, oh, my God, you have to actually invest to be successful in business, then I don't want them on there.
Yep. Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's funny because my perspective, I'm one of those people, I like to create relationships. I love to, you know, create friendships and things like that. And it's always funny because whenever I get people that are very influential people, they'll see me and they're like, you're just an average, ordinary guy, you know, like Joe Walsh almost. Like, you know, you're just a normal guy. You're not like pretentious or big guru head or anything like that. I'm like, no, I'm just me. So I naturally want to attract people and bring people together. That's more my thing. But it's funny is that then as time went on, I realized like, oh, man, like I'm paying a lot for this mailing list that I have. Like I want people to unsubscribe. They'll bump me down at least, you know, 20, 50 bucks a month, you know, so let them unsubscribe.
Yeah,
that's great.
Frees
that's
up mental
people
space
follow me.
Too, right? Yeah. Yeah, you can't worry if you're about to hit send to your email list. If you're worried, oh, gee, what is Joe from Boise, Idaho going to think? I think I heard his feelings a couple months ago, so maybe I'll clean this up a little or I'll be careful what I say there. You can't be afraid of your list, and you can't be afraid to sell to your list, but you can't be afraid to put out your strong, natural opinion. So not saying you want to go out there with real strong, crazy, your political beliefs or talking about abortion or religion and stuff like that. If you want to, go for it. But, you know, that being said, you still can't be afraid to give a strong opinion.
Right. Exactly. So if you're going to give advice to coaches, I know I have several people follow me that are coaches of different sorts, whether it be health and wellness, whether it be along the mental or psychological realms or whatever it might be, what would be your advice, especially for someone who's maybe they're really good at their craft, but they're not great at getting their word out, not great at crafting themselves, you know, what would you say?
Well, they're going to have to get good at it. You know, I'm sorry to say it's, I'd like to be able to say that you don't have to sell to be a good coach or have a successful business, but you've got to sell to help. And you can be the best coach in the world, but if you can't market yourself properly or you can't get clients through the door, you're not going to be able to remain a coach, you know, because you're not going to be making any money. And that's not good either. So my recommendation is get past that fear of self-promotion. You got to blow your own horn. And there's certain ways to do it. I don't mean that you're one of these corny people that – you ever see people that have take a picture of a check or something or $100 bills on their bed and they post it all over social media, or they're standing in front of a rented mansion or they have a rented yacht or something like that. Not saying that you have to be like that, but I have one client in particular who is doing really, really well. I know that she's getting a lot of clients because I've been working with her and I know her situation. And I noticed something, and I brought it up in one of our sessions. I said, you know what? I've never seen you basically brag about your success or talk about your success at all. I said, if I didn't know you, I wouldn't know that you had any clients. And you're getting testimonials, which you're afraid to put up, and you're not doing anything like that. And she said, yeah, you're right. I'm afraid to do it. I don't want to look like a bragger. And I said, that's your homework for this week. I want you to blow your own horn, and I want you to start doing that and see how it feels. And it actually felt good, and she got more business from it because she started to do that and started to get the lesson through her head. But that's a lot of coaches are afraid of looking like a braggart. They don't want to do it, and then they're hurting themselves, they're hurting their business, and they're hurting a lot of other people who they could have helped. They don't know about them.
It's true. That's so true. And that's where I remember one of my early mentors from like 6-7 years ago that I hired. I remember he said, you know, and he applies this to any business, but specifically to coaches, he'd say, you're not in the coaching business. You're not in the health and wellness business or whatever business it is that you do. You know, I have chiropractors follow me. You're not in the chiropractic business. That's not it at all. You're in the business of marketing your coaching business. And that's what he'd say. He's like marketing. He's like, it's all about marketing. He's like, you're not in your business of being a coach. You're in the business of marketing that coaching business. Because if people don't know who you are, how can they benefit from what you have? You might be the most amazing person in your field, but if nobody knows about you, you make no difference in people's lives. You're not blessing people to the degree that you possibly could be.
Yeah, most new coaches come in expecting that they're going to be coaching 80, 90% of the time, and then the other 10 or 20% of the time they're going to be doing, yeah, a little bit of marketing and, you know, tidy up the paperwork and the back end stuff, when in reality it's flipped the other way. They're doing maybe 10, 20% max of your time is spent actually coaching, and then you got 80% of the time finding those clients and doing the other stuff. And the sooner you can realize that and get your head wrapped around it, the better.
Especially early on. I mean, you've got to do that. I mean, once you get a reputation, once you get that out there, you have people referring you, great. But yeah, until you get to that point, I mean, you better be expecting that you're going to be spending more time on marketing than you will be actually coaching.
Yeah.
Awesome. So if you give one last piece of advice, what would that be, Mark?
Oh, boys. Why? That's always a tricky one because I want to talk for about 5 hours with some of the things that's constantly popping up. I mean, one thing in a nutshell, I'd encourage anybody out there to, if you're a coach, please don't offer your services for free or for discounts, deep discounts. That's going – sounds like common sense, but way too many coaches are doing it. And the sooner that you're charging what you're worth, then the better. And you're not doing the client any favors either. If you're giving them free coaching, they're not going to – they're not going to – take it seriously, or they're not going to have any skin in the game. So it seems to be a thing nowadays that people are saying, I'm doing these free coaching sessions, contact me and we'll talk for 2, 3 hours, 8 hours. And, you know, the thought is I'll pour my heart and soul in it and I'll knock their socks off. They'll be so impressed with this whole coaching thing that they're going to hire me and refer all their friends to me. And I've worked with a number of coaches who came from that school of thinking, and they're burnt out. They're frustrated. They're bitter, resentful, and they're just, they're starving. And there's a saying I always remember is that you can't light up the world if you can't pay your light bill. And that's what happens when you don't charge what you're worth. So do not, that's my personal recommendation. There'll be just as many people saying that you should do this, but in my honest opinion, don't do free coaching, charge what you're worth. It's valuable and you deserve to be paid for it.
Amen. That's right. So who's your favorite kind of coach you'd like to work with? Describe them a little bit.
Oh, boys. I mean, I've got a couple main criteria I like to work with. I work with coaches across all the board with all sorts of niches, but I like to work with coaches who are I like to have fun because it's life's too short if you're not having fun. So I like to joke around in the sessions. Business is serious, but you got to have fun. I want to work with people who do the work. They don't expect me to pick up the slack. And I like to be paid in full and on time. I'm in business, so that's a very important thing as well.
Those that definitely will uphold their word and be willing to actually do it, all right?
Yeah, you got her.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, hey, everybody, if you feel like you resonate with Mark, I definitely recommend you reach out to him, start to follow him, you know, really get to know his stuff. You know, Mark, what's the easiest way for them to follow you?
Oh, boys, naturalborncoaches.com is the central hub. You mentioned that you're in the Facebook group. We'd love to have them there. They can find the Facebook group, The Coaching Jungle, is thecoachingjungle.com. Or the new print newsletter that I actually launched just recently for coaches is secretcoachclub.com. So any of those places will get me.
Awesome. So, everybody, check out naturalborncoaches.com. Check out the Facebook group, The Coaching Jungle, or definitely, you know, any other way you could possibly follow Mark, check him out for sure. And you mentioned the last one was the secretcoachclub.com, right?
Yeah, you got her.
Secretcoachclub.com. Don't put the in before it. Yeah, secretcoachclub.com.
Right, secretcoachclub.com.
Awesome. Mark, this is amazing stuff. I wish everybody would listen to this and maybe listen to it twice or three times just to make sure they get it, make sure they understand it, and figure out how they personalize to themselves. So, hey, I appreciate your time on the call today.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
And everybody else out there, hey, again, you Ripplers, I want to see you make a massive ripple effect out there. So especially if you're a coach, let's see if we can make that happen. Because I'll tell you, the bigger ripple effect that I can create that can also ripple into your life, and that ripple can also go out into other people's lives, that's when we're really making the difference in the world. That's where we become the very world that we're trying to create here. It comes from people like us. And so definitely make sure we get out there, make sure we work together to be able to create massive, massive change in the world. So, everybody, thanks for listening. Have a great, prosperous week, and we'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.